Welcome to episode 12 of the Two Beards. Last week we were joined by QPR's number one, Joe Lumley. This week we've sort of gone down a little bit with the shit bloke from JLS. And some random bloke from Chelsea.
Chelsea's own Robbie.
Yeah, but welcome guys. Thanks for coming. How are you?
I'm all right, boys. How's it going? Finally, we've made this happen, boys. You know what I mean? It's been a long time coming.
It's been a while.
Do you know what I'm saying? He's been on the blower for months. That Marv, when are you going to do it?
Please.
Trying to fob him off, but he got hold of me, mate. Do you know what I mean?
I'm just buzzing being his plus one. I thought last year, decent parties and that, but you know, it's fine.
Oh, mate, that's how I feel. Me and you could just tag along with these two. He tells me every week, I'm the fucking talent. Shut up, mate. You fucking make videos in your cab.
Yeah, shit happens.
So wait, you two are just buddies off Instagram, innit? Just like Blue Tick Gang.
Yeah,
well,
so
not you, but...
Obviously, I done like a pretty funny-ish video about something. He liked it. And then it was from there. And then I was like a little bit of a fanboy. I went, oh, thank you for the follow. Appreciated. Yeah, no worries. Nah, yeah, sweet. Yeah, that was it.
Do you know what? Obviously, yeah, just scrolling through and that, you come across people. And I thought, who's this geezer? Big beards, proper Essex, East London lad, just speaking the truth. You know what I mean? He just made me laugh. I didn't want to tell him that, but I did. And but you know what? To be fair, we've actually got a couple of mutual acquaintances from back in the day.
Yeah.
And then I've since seen him posting pictures of him like in Essex, like faces and places like that back in the day. And I actually recognise him, not with a beard, that fresh-faced...
Baby
teenager
chops.
So I think we knocked about in similar circles back in the day, but obviously, you know,
is this you trying to justify just meeting online?
Do you know what, in the similar sort circle of. Though it's like you go down to faces, he'd be in the cage in the VIP bit, and I'd be hanging out the back guy.
No, not in those days.
Can
mate.
I
this
have
is,
a drink?
This is early days. I talk like 17, 18 when do you know what I mean? It was driving my old Volkswagen Golf down there and stuff and breaking you, down on the way.
I bet you was a flash prick as well in oh. faces, isn't it you?
No. Never in a million years, a little bit, but no. I wasn't a prick. I wasn't like some people that we know. We won't name them.
No.
Don't want to give them the airtime. Don't give them the airtime.
Right, gents, before we get into talking about Arsenal-Chelsea, I wanted to get your lot's opinion on the whole Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Who would you put in there? Because there's plenty of players from Arsenal, from Chelsea, from United. I'll get the nominations up, mate, because I can't remember them all. You should have had this already prepared.
It's on there, you fucking melt.
Oh, should I have a look at my phone as well?
I mean, straight off the bat, I know Bergkamp's one. And I know...
Of course.
Start early. Like,
yeah.
He's one that... This is going to... I'm going to kill it early, right? But he's... Kai Havertz reminds me a lot of him in a way that he's very relaxed. He kind of strolls about the pitch and almost... when he does things, he makes things look so effortless, almost to the extent you go, I don't know if he meant it because he's that calm, he's that chill about it.
Yeah,
he's definitely one Dennis Bergkamp for me, and obviously there's a litter of Chelsea players that could go in.
Yeah, I mean, before we touch on Chelsea, I've had this debate in the FPL WhatsApp group with my mates. Right, first of all, there was a thing that went in there a few weeks ago about the top three Premier League strikers of all time. Yeah, obviously everyone said Henry, right? I didn't say Henry.
Why?
I said. And I got a lot of hate for this in the group with the lads, a lot of banter. Like, I said, for me personally, right, and you're probably going to disagree, the top three Premier League strikers of all time, in my opinion, are the three that scored the most goals.
Oh. I'll back you on a lot of things, boy. But
Alan Shearer, Andy Cole, and Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, but it's not just...
Of course it's not just, but if I'm picking my... If I'm going, right, I've got a team of 11,
yep.
Premier League legends... The top three strikers
that you're having.
If we're doing 4-3-3, right?
Yeah.
I'm going Shearer, Cole, Rooney.
So Rooney can obviously float a little bit more
because
he's a bit of a number 10. So
yeah, you're going to have to justify this formation now for us. So, I want to hear how this is working.
So Alan Shearer
and
Andy Cole.
Who's on the left?
Who's number nine?
I would have said.
It's not straightforward.
I would have said Andy Cole is going to be number nine.
So Shearer's...
Shearer's 11.
Pulled out to the channel.
We're going to work out a formation, but I'm saying on paper, for me, the proven goal scorers who scored the most, and don't forget Shearer as well, he done 20 goals in the first division.
Shearer's always one that's going to crop up, isn't he? I think he's one that I get. I understand it, but I also think the goals are a little bit of a teller on him because he scored a stat load of goals. But I don't remember a huge amount about him, so that's hard for me to appreciate. Yeah. When you look at Henry, Drogba's the one for me, obviously, as a Chelsea fan.
JJ, how old are you?
26.
Yeah, so Shearer really ain't your era, is he?
No, he's not my era.
So, how old are you, Mark?
36. So I knew Shearer.
Yeah.
Go on, Jay.
So for me, it's difficult with Shearer. I get it. And obviously, you see all the videos and him smashing volleys against Ipswich from 35 yards. You think, what a player. But for me, when you look at all-round game, Didier Drogba is straight in there. Big games, you almost count a goal already for him. He's an absolute monster.
Stick your blue flag.
Henry's another. Just as a football purist, just what a player. Incredible. I think Aguero gets snubbed in this chat a lot because his goal scoring's unreal.
Mm-hmm. I would put him, I don't even want to say it, but I would put Harry Kane in there.
I knew you were going to fucking say Kane.
What do you mean? I'm biased. I'm just being honest. Kane is the absolute bollocks, mate. Giza can do everything, anything, assist. But he could play midfield better than half of the midfielders in the league. You want to put Kane up there?
Kane is there, but he's still, in my opinion, you've got to still take your team to go and win something. They ain't won fuck all. And I'm not just saying it because I'm Arsenal and they're Spurs. You might think I am. But ain't won fuck all. Shearer won it with Blackburn.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you know what I mean?
I get that.
And that's why I'm like, none of you have mentioned him, Andy Cole, for me, so underrated. All these chats, another one, you know, you get all these things flung in the groups all the time. Top 11 strikers, Andy Cole wasn't even in there.
What?
I was like, it's a liberty. Do you know what I mean? Disrespect.
He'd be in there.
Like some of the stats, like he literally out of his 260 or whatever many goals, only one of them was a penalty. He wasn't even a penalty taker. You know, the numbers, that I think he's got a record for the most goals and assists in the Premier League in a season.
The fact as
Andy
well,
Cole.
The fact he's in that four, isn't he? He's in when people talk about Sheringham, Solskjaer, York and Cole, he's not even nailed on to play every week. So I think you're absolutely right. But he's massively underrated. Massively.
Bergkamp for you. So would you...
I'd have him. You got six, haven't you? Is it six?
You've got six picks.
You've got Lamps in there, son.
Lamps,
100%, JT. 100% Lampard's in there.
1,000,000%.
Because of what
Lamps
he's done.
Is in there.
How many goals? 220 odd goals for Chelsea?
211 for Chelsea.
Yeah, highest scoring midfielder, isn't it?
Highest scoring midfielder in Premier League history.
So this is a chat that he...
I'm just going to have a look at
Why
the rest of them.
Don't say it, please.
No, don't fucking nervous now.
Yeah, but you know...
Nervous, own it, just own it.
All right, go on, whatever, just own it. Go on.
But they will agree with you.
Rune, edit this out, yeah.
They will agree with you. So he's having a chat at work, and he was telling me about it. Tony Adams or John Terry? He's picked John Terry. Why are you two nodding?
I'll be honest, I've not heard anything outrageous yet.
Yeah.
See? I told you, I'm very unbiased.
See, you're all right now, aren't you? You're panicking, your arsehole was going.
Fuck you.
You're all right now. But I would say, because Terry played predominantly the most of his career in the Prem, I understand it. But it's not as easy as nailed on as that. It's not, John Terry. No, I don't.
I think it is John Terry. John Terry won absolutely everything. People forget how good he was at passing the ball. Like, he was passing the ball and spraying football before we was even playing out from
Wayne center Bridge off. Won a lot. He's not in here.
Yeah, but shut up. We're having a serious conversation. You're talking shit. This ain't one of your videos, man.
But you're saying like David May won the Champions League.
Surely the back two is Rio and JT.
Rio's a player.
That's the back two, isn't
it? Rio's a player.
Company?
What's a shout, you know?
He ain't even on the list, mate.
I was going to say, I'm looking through it
you
now.
You can't just be throwing people
Companies
that ain't
like,
on
you
the
can't
list.
Throw people in not on the list.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
You've got Vidic, you've got JT.
Vidic ain't on there for me.
Ashley Cole, where'd you
Ashley Cole's on there. Yeah, best left back in the world.
Rio, Ashley, Sol Campbell, and Tony Adams.
See, again, I think Sol Campbell's underrated, but because he was the same time as JT and Rio, I don't rate him as highly because obviously my bias for John Terry anyway, and Rio.
Yeah, it's not about like
John Terry scored goals as well.
Yeah, it's not about being biased because we're Chelsea fans. He would, like your man, he said as well, he'd be there over Tony Adams. He's an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, he was ridiculous. John Terry.
Is Les Ferdinand in there? Sir Les? That's a no.
Andy Cole over Les.
I can't remember Les Ferdinand that much, to be honest. So that what are you doing that for?
Robbie Fowler.
Yep.
Great striker.
Underrated.
He is underrated as well. He's a coach in India. I think he was a coach in Australia. He's a coach in India now. Yeah. So he's doing bits. So he could come back and I think that helps her when they're in your peripheral all the time.
Yeah.
When they're over here, like when they're managing
you
or the
remember
coach,
them a massively. Bit more. Yeah, yeah.
Because you see, even with Frank, when Frank come back, the amount of times I must have seen him round the goalkeeper and score against Bolton in 2005. I saw the same video 100 times in a week. Yeah. And you see it all the time. Fowler, don't see anything, do you? Because he's not here. He's not
what
about.
That's the thing about social media now as well. Could you imagine Letizia if we had social media now? The clips that you'd be seeing of him week in, week out. People, but he isn't going to get.
Be like the English Ronaldinho, wouldn't he?
Unbelievable. I can't believe that Tony Yeboah's not in there, to be honest.
Big Tone.
You know what I'm saying?
Big Tone.
He's got some goals, didn't he? Jesus, the boy.
Love the wallet.
That's the Harry Kane chat, though, isn't it? That's the Harry Kane chat for Matt Letizia. If he'd have left, if he'd have gone somewhere big and won everything, he'd be nailed on for this list.
Do you reckon he'll go, Kane?
I think he's got to. Not just from a Chelsea perspective. I think he has to.
Can you see him coming to Chelsea?
No.
Can you see that happening?
Two Manchester clubs out of those two.
I don't know, man. I think he could go Chelsea.
I'll be honest with you. I'd love it. I'd love it if he did, but I just can't see it.
Levy will not sell Kane to a fellow London club.
Well, for 100 million quid.
Levy loves money, mate. You put the money in front of him, he's going to say, yeah, I'll take it.
Levy won't do it.
I can't see Harry Kane as being the guy to throw his toys out either. I think that's the hardest. If you've got a player that you know is going to force a move, they go anywhere. They could go anywhere because players got power. I don't think Harry Kane does it. Even if he does it in private, I don't think he kicks up enough of a fuss to go to another London club.
I actually see him as a United player. If I picture where he's going, I see him as a United player. Whether they're going to pay the money, City obviously got rid of Aguero.
They're going to want Haaland now, aren't they?
Well, this is the thing, but if they don't get Haaland, what are they going to do? Do you know what I mean? I mean, they're probably going to win a Champions League, maybe. And they haven't got... I mean, listen, Aguero might still play. He played at the weekend, obviously. But where I'm going with this is with Chelsea, we are crying out for a number nine, right? Yeah, that's the missing piece in our puzzle. So whether we're going to get a Kane or a Lukaku, probably not Haaland, or whether someone like Aguero.
I think it's
would you take Aguero at Chelsea?
100%. 100%.
You got it, right? With 32, I know he's injury prone, but...
He still might score 20
He's
goals.
He's still banging goals, isn't he?
And you create chances now.
A lot.
In that
a lot.
Like Timo Werner and all that.
Yeah.
He's obviously not prolific. He wasn't really anyway, but he's there's something about him.
Yeah, I'm Team Werner. I get a lot of stick about Werner, but what he does on that pitch, he's a grafter. And his assists at the minute are amazing. What he's doing, him serving at the weekend, like obviously there's a, you know, at the minute it's going to Mount, Werner or Ziyech, and then obviously Havertz finished the tour at the weekend. But I just think if we get one of those three, even I'll take Aguero, because like you said, if he can nick us 20-25 goals next season, we'll be up there. Do you know what I mean?
Eric Cantona?
What, for the Hall of Fame, yeah? I thought you meant for Chelsea.
No. I was going to say, well, for Chelsea.
Beach football, loves it.
Do you know what? They were saying about, would Arsenal take it up? I just can't see him staying fit for the whole season. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Aguero.
He hasn't done
The only problem. I don't think you're going to get 20 out of him.
I think he's only got like 2 league goals this year.
Yeah, I thought he had one.
Yeah, I think he's got, because I was shocked at that when they said it at the weekend. I was like, no, surely not. But you're right, he just ain't played, does he?
I heard a thing the other day where he hadn't scored in like, I think it was since January, like crazy, about 6-7 months he hadn't scored a league goal in, and I couldn't believe it. But he's hardly played.
Yeah, exactly.
He's hardly played. I don't think he's got the legs for him anymore.
False nine to a new extreme.
But was you disappointed with Werner? Are you disappointed with him?
Nah.
Not at all.
I think really, when he come in, obviously, I think we were sort of sold the dream that he was going to be the number nine. And obviously, we played him in that position for a while at the beginning. And there was a lot of pressure on him because he was the guy that was going to come in and get us 30 goals. You know what I mean? But he's not that player.
I think he's very much like Hazard.
Yeah.
The way he gets the ball and just drives at the defence.
Definitely.
There's a stat going around today that he's the first player since Eden Hazard in his debut season to get double figures of goals and assists. And I think he's that player. When he was at Leipzig, he played in either a 2 up top with Paulson and he'd pull off to the left, or he'd play in a 3 and he'd play wide left. When Frank was doing it at the start of the season, we were playing a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. He was doing that. He was playing wide left. And he didn't score in the first couple of games. And people are like, play him up front, play him through the middle. And you're like, if you've seen him at Leipzig, that's where he gets his goals. Killing it. But so many players over the years, Omri was the best at it, just seemed to drift in from the left-hand side, open the body up and cut it in the corner. He's the kind of guy that makes any team better when he's in it. If he was at Liverpool, people would be waxing lyrical because Salah would be on 40 goals.
Yeah,
Mane would be on 30 goals. The difficulty with him is he's changed system, coming over to a country in the middle of a pandemic, so you can't really settle. You can't go out and have a few beers and meet your
socialise and chill out and relax. Yeah.
You can't settle in.
But the other man you mentioned, because when you signed him, I was worried, because I'm probably like you, I love Bundesliga, and I used to watch him last season. I thought, oh my God, Havertz is going to be a serious problem here.
Yeah.
What are you guys thinking of him?
He's the only one for me so far that I'm still on the fence with. You know what I mean? Obviously, the weekend he bagged too, which was lovely, great to see. But he's the only one I'm still unsure about. Do you know what I mean? I think Werner's going to do the business. I think Ziyech's going to do the business. Obviously, Silva.
Mount's been quality.
Mount's an unbelievable player. But yeah, Havertz is the only one for me. I still need to see more from him, and we'll get that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Obviously, you know, again, same reasons as what you just said, coming into a new country and, you know, different way of football, you know, change of lifestyle. I think next season we'll definitely get a lot better from him. You know,
yeah, he's one, and he's come over with a big reputation, because straight away, everyone last year knew his name, even if you'd never seen him play. People were talking about him, and you think, there's a lot of talk that if Chelsea didn't get him last year, there'd be enough teams in for him this year, yeah, because he'd have done the same. But again, when he was playing at Leverkusen, he was playing as like a...
He's playing it like right up top, weren't he, half the time? And he was getting headers about everything. And people think that he's a 10. He's not an out-and-out number 10,
no,
is he?
No, he's not.
He was more a number 9 for Leverkusen than what he was anything else.
He's weird, isn't he? He's almost like a 9.5, where he can play both, but we don't have that kind of setup in this country where you play that. And he's the kind of one, I think, for him... that he'd have benefited so much if there were fans in the ground, because straight away you see brilliance and you think, here we go. Yeah. He's 21.
His first touch is unbelievable.
He's 21. It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. And he's like, he's ridiculous. His first touch is, I mean, even at the weekend, he scored two, could have had a hat trick with a third that was offside. And even that, he just clipped it over the goalkeeper and you think, he makes things look so easy.
He does.
So effortless.
He's very relaxed, isn't he?
Yeah,
very relaxed.
Amazing.
Are you happy with Tuchel?
Love
like
him.
I mean, obviously he was pro Lampard.
Yeah. 100%, yeah.
Was you gutted when he left and thinking, oh shit, what we done as a club? But with Tuchel, have you forgot about?
I went thinking, what have we done as a club? So I knew that we're bringing someone very good. You know what I mean? Frank, obviously, the romance of him being, he's my favourite Chelsea player. Don't know about Jay.
Yeah, same, mate, same.
But, you know, the romance of him coming in, getting the job, obviously the respect, the adulation we've all got for him. That was my concern when he took the job. I was like, yeah, but when it goes wrong, because it always goes wrong at Chelsea for gaffers.
Yeah.
You know, you can win the Champions League and still get sacked. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know, how's that gonna be? Such a club legend, you know? So initially I was like, is it the right timing? But then if you're Frank Lampard and you're getting offered the Chelsea gig, you're going to take it, right? Of course you are.
Yeah.
And listen, what was he, fourth? Where was when he got sacked?
Well, I think we were about 9th or 10th.
4 points off of fourth.
We weren't far off. We went for a really bad patch over Christmas, didn't we? It started, I think, either away at Wolves or away at Everton before Christmas. And then we had some... you boys beat us on Boxing Day, didn't you? We lost to Man City on New Year's Day. And then we lost away at Leicester. And there was a couple in there where we were just on a bad run. It just weren't going right. I think the difficulty is, like you said, because he's such a legend. He's the greatest player we've ever had. Again,
it's hard to give him abuse, isn't it?
Massively, but
not
I think,
even abuse, but like,
yeah, but you
don't want to say, Frank, what the fuck you're doing? It's just
it was the right time for him to come in, though, because you know with the transfer ban, there is no way, and people can say Mason Mount, I think, is a different because he's so good. I think regardless of whoever managed it, he'd come through. He's so good, he'd have proven it. He might not have been given a chance that early with Frank. He might not have been given 50 games last year, but. You look at Reece James, you look at Tammy Abraham, even Billy Gilmore coming into the first team. Tamori's another one who's bossing it. Callum Hudson-Odoi as well. So many players that perhaps wouldn't have had that trust, but Jody Morris and Frank Lampard have seen these boys since they were 10 years old. Like, so they know what they're about. To take them to Derby with Frank, and then he had that relationship straight away. Mason Mount, for me, is the first name on the team sheet for England this summer. Like, he's so important. He's Chelsea's most influential player, full stop. Like, he's... Does he get that back in from another manager that's not Frank Lampard? So in 10 years' time, you're still talking about what Frank's left, because Mason's going to be there, Reece is going
to
be there.
Tuchel's taking them on to another level with Mount, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, obviously, when Frank went, Jay and I were the same, obviously devastated. With hindsight, obviously, it probably was the right time in, do you know what I mean? And obviously Tuchel's come in and I think for me, what he's done is revolutionised that back line. You know, he's got the best out of Zuma. It's Rudiger, they're like two brand new players, you know what I mean? Obviously, Silva, we knew how good Silva was when he came in anyway. Alonso, when he first come in, Alonso was like a different man. Aspilicueta, obviously.
Because he was at Bolton, captain. Alonso, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
When you got him, I was thinking, what the fuck? He's so elegant, though.
Yeah.
He's like, he doesn't sprint, he doesn't do anything, but he's just so, I love a left-footed player, as you know, didn't you? But I think he's a good player.
And then there's Chilwell and James as well. So like the back line is just the way it's working at the minute is just it's lovely to see. Obviously the West Brom game was a freak, but other than that, we kept a lot of clean sheets. You know what I mean?
But every team has that one result. I look at Liverpool with Villa early on in the season as well. But with if you go on and win the Champions League, right, it's going to be we made the right decision here, haven't we?
thing is, it's Chelsea get big decisions right. From outside in, people always question it and go, oh, you don't give enough time. Chelsea notoriously get big decisions right. They're difficult decisions, and this was the toughest because it was Frank, but they get them right all the time. The changeover in manager very rarely doesn't work. And when you're getting someone like Tuchel, I mean, Tuchel took PSG to a Champions League final last year. I know it's PSG and they got, you know, copious amounts of money to spend on what you like. When you've got a front two of Neymar and Mbappe, you've got to be...
Yeah, of course.
But you say that, though. Pochettino, they might not even win the league now.
Yeah, true.
They're 3 points behind,
Lille.
Didn't they?
Yeah, behind Lille, yeah.
So you say that, you still got to get the best out of these players. You still got to, sometimes it's harder to find a system that works to get these players in than what it is us sitting here looking and saying, oh, it's easy to play with them lot. But is there any decision that he's made that you haven't agreed with? You said that most of the decisions they've got right.
Chelsea or Tuchel?
Chelsea.
I don't think
letting Tomori go.
Yeah,
I liked Tomori.
Yeah,
I was a big guy when he went. But listen, like most teams at the top, you've got to have the strength and the depth in the squad, but you can't keep everyone happy. Do you know what I mean? Maybe he wanted to leave.
Yeah,
I mean now he's gone to his AC. He's gone to
AC Milan,
and he's smashing it. You know what I mean?
So like you've gone to Swansea, is it? Sorry, Swansea. He's gone to AC Milan.
Yeah. So I mean, and he's smashing it over there. So that's listen, we've been notorious for it. Salah, De Bruyne, Lukaku. The list goes on.
But you've still won things. Your model as a football club since Abramovich has been there, this is what you do. 2-3 years, change up. Ancelotti, what, won a double?
Yeah, won a double.
Yeah. Mm. Got rid of him. Nah, no good. We want to go on to the next one. You want to win, obviously, your Champions Leagues and whatnot. I just think that's the way modern day football is going.
Completely.
Mm. All this fucking longevity with football clubs, like Klopp won't be at Liverpool forever. Klopp will probably go to another English club. Do you not agree? Do you agree? No?
I don't know, you know.
I don't think from Liverpool straight to an English club. I think he could then go
Spain
or whatever and then come back. But I don't think that longevity for like 10, 12, 15 years is there anymore.
Yeah, look at Jose. Jose's working, obviously he's gone to Roma now, but he was making his way around the whole of the league, wasn't he?
Mate. Just a whore, isn't he? Such a
come
whore.
Back, come to us twice.
Yeah. Managers and players, I don't ever hold anything personal to managers and players because it's their career. It's a living.
Yeah, of course.
And managers as well. I'm obviously we're both massive Chelsea, right? If I was a player and it weren't working out at Chelsea and I get a massive offer from another London club, I'm gone. Like it's that's football, isn't it?
So you'd go to Tottenham.
I didn't say Tottenham. There's always other offers, isn't there?
I go to Charlton,
West Ham's the loveliest time of year, isn't it?
That's why going back to the Kane thing, I'm like, is he gonna go to Chelsea?
No,
do you know what I mean?
He will, mate.
Can you really see that? Listen, there's one thing, he might be settled in London or Essex, wherever he lives, and he might not, you know what I mean, he might not want to leave. That's the only thing where he could go to Chelsea, I think. If he's not bothered about location, then he's definitely going to be in Manchester.
I don't think he goes direct.
Become Arsenal.
I don't think, but again, but that's another one though, right? He could go abroad, he'd go around Madrid 2 or 3 years, and then like Gareth Bale, hate it, and get bored of playing golf and want to come back. Like, so it could happen, but he's got 27, Kane?
Yeah, he's 27.
So he's got.
He's got to win.
Do you reckon he wants that record?
Oh,
Shearer's record?
Yeah, of course he does. That's why I can't see him leaving the Prem. He wants to win the Prem, and I can't see him. Yeah, he wants to beat.
If he beats that record and wins one Premiership, he's going to be happy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He'll be sweet.
Yeah,
he'll be sweet.
Won't be at Spurs. Didier Drogba in there?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rio said, yeah, Robbie Fowler.
I'm not sold on Robbie Fowler.
Mate, I think this team's about 15 players, isn't it?
Hang on.
Because to be fair,
I'm naming the players. Yeah,
said Bergkamp, John Terry.
Yeah.
Bergkamp, John Terry.
Lamps.
Lampard.
I'm going to say Vieira has to be in there.
Ashley Cole.
I'd have Ashley in there.
The way he went, though.
Are we picking a team as if we're playing six aside, or are we just picking the best six
in our
opinion?
We're just picking the best six in our opinion. Okay.
I've got five up top.
Yeah,
because Smarkle's got to be there.
I was going to say, otherwise, we ain't got a keeper as well.
Smarkle.
No, it's just six.
User ain't said Henri.
He's already in, though, isn't he?
Him and Shearer are already in.
So then that's more than six.
No, we don't have to count them. They're already two. We can count.
So we're picking six more.
Another six.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So you're making this hard work.
Sorry. I thought you meant six with Henri and Shearer in it. Sorry.
So Sol Campbell, no.
No, not
for me. Not if JT's in there.
Andy Cole's in there, mate.
Eric Cantona.
Nah, not for me.
It's not your hero, though.
True.
Paul Scholes is definitely in there.
But is he, though? You can't have Scholes, Gerrard,
and
Lampard.
No, but it's not about that. We're not making a fucking team, are we? We've just had that conversation.
All right, those three have got three spots. Then you've got Ashley Cole, Andy Cole.
Who said Ashley Cole? That's fucking only him. I never said
Ashley Cole. How can you not have Ashley Cole, really?
Let me see the list. Let me see.
How can you leave? Paul Scholes at? Can you get another go next year? These ain't one and done, is it? It's like not like the Grammys, is it? You get another go next year. You can vote him in next year.
No one's even said. Look, there's Gerrard's in here.
Gerrard, yeah, of course.
Roy Keane's in here.
Gerrard never won the Prem.
True.
Yeah, but how many Champions League did he win?
Don't matter. This is the Prem all. Hall of Fame.
Wash out. European. Yeah, great point.
They put that in as a curveball.
Yeah, they haven't they?
Yeah.
But that goes back to my argument earlier. If you're talking about Premier League all time, then Andy Cole, Shearer, and Rooney got to be in there. Mm. Is Rooney even on there?
Rooney ain't on there.
No, fuck, he ain't.
Is he not?
How's Rooney not on that?
Ian Wright, Patrick Vieira. I don't know how the Man U Village is in here.
No, I think it's a piss.
Robin Van Persie, John Terry, Paul Scholes, Schmeichel, Michael Owen, Letizia, Lampard, Keane, Gerrard, Fowler, Ferdinand, Les Ferdinand, Didier Drogba, Ashley Cole, Andy Cole, Cantona, Sol Campbell, Bergkamp, David Beckham, and Tony Adams.
How can Wayne Rooney not be on that
list?
I'm
with you now. That's
it's a void, isn't it? Then it's just
that's,
a stupid
that's like
argument.
A mistake. Like they've forgotten to put him on there. Him on there.
Yeah.
Unless
what I mean.
Get on your socials and have a complainer.
Hey, trust me. I'm not even a United fan. I'm upset about that.
Weren't you your gaffer in soccer, Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, he was.
And you got a direct line to him.
Wayne.
Wazza.
Is this why? Has he gone, Marv, when you go on this podcast, have a word with him. Yeah.
No, that's a mental. How can they leave him out?
I reckon he's knobbed one of their nens.
Can I say that?
Fuck him.
He's still in though. He's manager at Derby, isn't he? So
relegated. That's probably why.
Yeah, they're probably going to get sacked off soon, aren't they? I think it goes down to the last game.
He is retired, isn't he? Technically, he's done.
Yeah.
So you can't even say
only
that.
Only this year, though. Only this year, because midway through the season, he got to play a manager job, didn't he?
Because it was him and Philip.
Maybe that's the reason.
Yes.
Koku.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Maybe that's the reason.
Maybe because he was still about.
Because he was still technically a player this season.
We'll let him off.
No, we've given him a loophole there, Marv.
We have. Just so bad.
Yeah, they're going to use that. We'll see a tweet
Well, media trained.
Yeah.
Media trained over here.
We'll see a tweet out tomorrow, won't we? Yeah. Rooney ain't in it because he was still playing 6 months ago.
Wazza's got to be in there, 100%.
Yeah. We're there. That's a strange one.
Peter Schmeichel will be the only goalkeeper you've got in there.
Petr Cech.
Yeah, that's Cech.
So the top three goalkeepers for me are Cech, Seaman and Schmeichel.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd probably go along with that.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Yeah.
But then, no. Same, when did he retire? 2004. Against Southampton, 2004.
Did he go City after you or before? No, after you.
After.
What did he do? For a year there?
I think a year.
Yeah.
He got injured in a challenge with Yakubu at Portsmouth, yeah. Probably his ponytail hit him on the fucking shoulder blade.
And he did Dance on Ice and got rid of it. Yeah. Did he Dance on Ice or Strictly Come Dancing?
Yeah, he did Dance on Ice.
I go fishing now. All right, Dave.
No one's even said no one Beckham.
No, I'm not having Beckham.
Beck's a ledge player, but I don't think he makes the eight. I don't think so.
If you're going on a night out,
you want to take Beckham.
Beckham's there.
He's picking up the tab. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're taking.
Beck's walked in first.
You're taking Beckham, and you're definitely taking Fowler, aren't you? They've got to be like the top two you're taking on the night out.
Yeah, yeah. Not John Terry, though. No, you do because you don't want him left indoors. Sorry.
Beckham's not a Premier League, though, is he? Beckham's a worldwide. Beckham, when you're talking about worldwide football, England, but not Premier League.
When you say David Beckham, you don't even think about the footballer. Do you know what I mean? You think about the
he's
superstar.
He's just a brand, isn't he? He's everything.
You know what I'm saying? It's mad that when you think about actually what he did on the football pitch for England and United. The assists, the goals, the
delivery, that right foot.
All of it. Do you know what I mean? The goals for England as well.
That free kick against Greece.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers where they were at that point.
Unbelievable.
Even the fact that now he's built a football club.
Yeah.
Like he's a player. He's built a football club.
He'd do what he wants.
From the ground up.
He?
He's just because that was in his contract, supposedly, wasn't it? When he went to LA Galaxy, that he'd be allowed
to do a franchise.
To do a franchise at some point. You think?
I love a franchise.
How forward thinking is that? Because he's a footballer, and he's thinking 15 years down the line, I might want to build a football team. Just staggering. But
is he still involved in the Salford team as well?
I think he owns it. I think he's a percentage owner.
Yeah, there's like four of them.
Is he?
He's a percentage owner.
Neville Brothers, Bart Scholes.
Yeah.
I think they're all four or five of them, and then there's another 50%, which is the guy that owned Valencia, which is how Gary Neville knows him. I think he owns 50% Peter Lim or something.
He's definitely got the ump with him now. He's definitely got the ump with him now.
So can we nail these six players then and get on to something
different? I'm going Bergkamp.
Yep.
John Terry.
Yep.
Lampard.
I would say Vieira.
I'm all right with Vieira.
Yeah, right he's Vieira. Not.
No. I mean, go on. I think he gets in. He just gets in.
Drogba.
Yeah.
Drogba's five.
Drogba and one more. And let Marvin pick this one because he had the unbelievable last boy. One.
Your number nine.
Andy Cole.
There you go. Yeah,
fair play. Fair play.
That's what we're going with.
Cool. That's sweet. It's fine.
He's not having Cole. Whatever.
No. I am. So, Chelsea fans.
Yep.
What's your first abiding memory of being a Chelsea fan? Why Chelsea?
I think same as yours, my old man.
Yeah.
My man was a Chelsea fan.
Yep.
I've got a terrible memory, so I can't remember specific games and stuff, but we used to go to like all the League Cup games, FA Cup games, Champions League games, because they were midweek and they were cheaper than a Premier League game. It was 70 quid a ticket by the time I was old enough to start going and stuff like that. And so I used to do that. I remember I was thinking about this on the way in, because obviously we've got Real Madrid and hopefully potentially a Champions League final. One of the first games that I remember going to, like a proper memory, and again I could have been 17, I've got such a terrible memory the first time I remember. We played Apoel Nicosia from Cyprus, I think they are. And I just remember being transfixed by the way that people would travel thousands and thousands of miles to come over, support their team in a game that they were heavily, heavily backed against. Chelsea were 4-0 up, and they're all wearing orange, and they're all still dancing and jumping about in the stands. There's about 10 minutes to go. Lampard's got a free kick about 20 yards out, and they all turn around. Yeah. Turn around facing the back of the shed, and I'm like, it's amazing because I don't care. They're four down.
It's just holiday, isn't it?
They're getting knocked off the park. They're four down on a Tuesday night, come from Cyprus, getting absolutely getting shown the door, and just loved it. And obviously the bridge is just obviously biased, but yeah, it's special.
Yeah, my first game was with my old man again. He's mates with Paul Elliott.
Yep.
And Paul had his testimonial, and I must have went to the game. I must have been about 8 or 9, something like that. And that was my first football match.
Did you have
like
Omega on the front? Was it you had
Commodore? Was it?
Commodore.
Yeah,
that's
we
it.
Had Amiga for a game for a, yeah. for a couple though, didn't we? Yeah.
My iconic kit memory is the yellow cause one. That was
that reminds me of Bjarne Goldbeck and Zola.
Yeah, of course. Ed De Hoya, Desai, Crescu,
Viali
in the snow with an orange ball. I remember that.
Rude Hullet as well. That was my first sort of first time falling in love with the Blues and. It's funny because I've got two brothers, one's United, one's Arsenal, and then I stuck with my old man and went Chelsea. Made the right decision, obviously. So, just over the years, you know, I used to go when I was a kid. Used to do the old going on the kids' season ticket, all that stuff back in the day.
Yeah. Love that.
And we had junior gunners. We did.
What
was your first Arsenal game?
My first football game was Arsenal Tottenham in the FA Cup semi final when Gazza scored that free kick.
Wow.
Fucking hell, that ain't a bad one, is it?
Yeah, wallet. I remember my dad went, you fucking fat bastard. we got pumped that game. And then my second game was West Ham at home. We lost, and a small score for West Ham. We lost 1-0. I was thinking, is this the right time? I was like, Dad, can I support someone else? No. I remember my 8th birthday, I went to my dad, like one of my best friend, Tottenham. And I said to my dad on my 8th birthday, I'll never forget it. I went, would you mind if I support half Arsenal and half Tottenham? My dad just, at 8 years old, he went, fuck off. He went, you'll see why you can't do that when you're older. It makes perfect sense.
My first game was Tottenham, Man United.
Yeah, but your old man's the filth, isn't he? Spurs. Yeah.
When they won 5-3 and Beckham scored that absolute fucking weldy.
When they 3-0 down?
Yeah.
United,
that was
my
first one, yeah, because my old man's Tottenham.
What made you go Arsenal then?
Dickhead over there.
Right, okay.
He was he's like diehard Tottenham every game, home and away, Europe, everything. Wow. And then because I live with him and my mum, I followed and went with him.
All right, yeah, sweet.
But only when I was like, he used to take me to Tottenham until I was like old enough to make a decision. And then I was like, no, fuck this.
For people that are listening to the audio version, he is pointing at his brother, Rooney.
Yep. Shout out to Rooney.
Shout out, Roons.
The one who gets slagged off every week.
Fucking wanker. We organise a pub crawl for fucking 6 months and then all of a sudden he don't turn up. Oh, no, I can't. I've got to go to IKEA.
He had to go to IKEA and get a lampshade. No, that weren't. It weren't. He had to. No. He come to the pub and said, I can only have one. We was like, well, where are you going? I've got to go and pick Sonny Cup. Pick what, Room? I've got to go and pick up cupcakes. Yeah.
Wait, what's happening, bruv? What happened there? To be fair,
missing his cousin. I had to go.
Yeah. Oof.
So, Fuck you, Rooney. We had to get cabs everywhere.
We did, actually. Yeah. Lads, he touched on it, and I know this podcast will obviously go out after it's done, but what's your thinking for the game, massive game tomorrow?
I'm rattled by it, Marv. I said to this before. Last week, ahead of the first leg, I was so nervous. And usually I'm quite... I'd say I'm delusionally confident a lot of the time with Chelsea. Like, well,
he sounds
over the
like
top.
Me, doesn't he?
Well over the top. Like, we could be backed up against them. Like, yeah, but come on. Like, it's only Man City. They're only 17 unbeaten. Come on, don't worry about that. But last week I was rattled by it because it started to feel real. And I think for the first time, I've been saying it after every Champions League game. I've been making a joke of going, oh, 7 more months and then we'll be in Istanbul. And as it's got closer, it's got less of a joke to the point where I've started to bottle it a little bit, going,
I'm the same. I've been like on the groups and that saying like if and you know what I mean. Like we're almost bottling it now. Like we're halfway there. Let's be real.
I've been sending screenshots of Airbnbs in Istanbul since January and like buying a Turkish phrase book, trying to go to our boys. Get on this. Make sure you're aware. But now it's getting closer, and I think the first leg we were excellent. We were superb first half hour. They
should have wrapped it up, mate. Should have wrapped it up.
They tried to match us with a three at the back, which I've not seen a huge amount of Real Madrid, but when I was doing prep and looking for them, they don't play that a lot.
I've not seen them once this season. And it totally threw them, and it just played right into your lot's hands.
Completely. Looked absolutely shell-shocked. So that's the only worry for me, because we were so dominant.
Do you think he's going to change it up tomorrow night?
He's got to go to a four, Zidane. He cannot play a three again, because it'll be over.
Is Ramos not playing?
No, he might be back, but Varane's done.
Marcelo's got to do some polling duty, and you're saying it?
I saw it today. He's all right.
Is he all right? Yeah.
He got excused. He went there 8 a.m. yesterday morning, and one of the like, officials took his place, basically, and said, off you go.
I can't see where they trouble you.
No, I agree, I actually
can't see where they're going to cause you
any
problems.
Yeah, but that's the worry, though, mate. Cause
of course.
Look at Benzema, where the goal come from. Out of nowhere.
We're the underdogs, right? Still, well, before last week, we were the underdogs. We're probably fourth favourites out of four teams left, which, to be honest, I don't mind that. Do you know what I mean? But now I think we've got to be favourites now because we've got the away goal.
Second favourites for the tournament now.
That's what I don't like because, you know, it's like, obviously, we've got to go and go for it. We've got to try and get a goal from the off, you know what I mean? But then if we do nick the first goal, we're going to sit back, aren't we? We're not going to... He's not going to then kick on and try and win it 2-3-0, I don't think.
Do you know, this is the thing, though, because it's the same as playing you boys in the FA Cup final last year, right? In the FA Cup, you worry me. When we play in a league or whatever, I'm always confident with Chelsea. Real Madrid are the same. Real Madrid are Champions League. This is them. This is their trophy.
They should name it the Real Madrid trophy.
Exactly. Yeah. Like 13 times. And even during that time, last week, before the game, I'm going, yeah, they've got Kroos, Modric, Casemiro. Mason Mount run all over them. N'Golo Kante ran it. And you think, that's the area where they control games, but they're still that good. They don't have to be 100% and they can worry you. And Benzema's just...
And mate, we haven't mentioned Hazard as well. Do you know what I mean? Oh. It's just written in the stars for him to play and score a goal and knock us out. You know what I mean?
Does he celebrate?
Do you know what?
I don't think he would. I mean, there's no fans, is there? So I don't think he would celebrate, to be honest.
He went about in the right way. I wouldn't be bothered if he did. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me.
Why did he leave? Why was it? Because
he wanted to.
Yeah, and also we had to get our money, didn't we? Because he was what, 1 year, like most players, there's 1 year left on the contract.
We know that.
We knew that he was, you know, it was obvious that he was going to go to Real Madrid. He spoke about it in interviews. Right. You know, with respect to us Chelsea fans, he sort of said one day he would like to.
Yeah.
So we knew it was on the card. Same with Harry Kane, I guess. It's like...
He's given you enough, though, hasn't he?
Oh, he's scored massive. I reckon he'll come back
to Chelsea.
His last kick for Chelsea was scoring a pen in Baku.
Yeah.
And then full time.
Yeah,
and then
post.
Oh, I fucking hell, Jesus Christ.
What's the need for that?
I got you pizza. Yeah,
there was no need for that.
In the post match, he was like, you know, I think this is goodbye. And you're just like, all right, fair enough.
I reckon he'll come back, though. After this stint of Real Madrid, I think he'll come back.
What, do a Lampard? Be manager?
No. Come back as a player. I reckon he will.
I don't know if he suits us now, though. I don't know if he's.
I don't think he'll come. I don't know whether he'll come back.
He's
struggled. Where does he fit in?
Well,
now?
He's played. I think he's played 37 or 38 games since the start of last season when we sold him. Which, considering that Mason Mount's rocked up 100 in that time, he's just not been able to stay fit.
When you get to that age,
I don't know whether it's something about Real Madrid.
It might even be with
like
Bale. Look at him, he ain't really played. They talk about, oh, went like Spurs fans were spunking over Bale coming back. Oh, the saviour's back. He's been on loan for 7 years. Comes back, he ain't really played that much.
No.
But Mourinho, he's obviously not as fit as people think he is. And the Prem's a different kettle of fish when it comes to the fitness.
His short game's great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got hatched the other day.
I wouldn't mind him.
He didn't do too bad the other day. I know it was Sheffield United, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm nervous about the game. But I think them nerves have come because I've taught myself into being nervous.
I don't think
there's anything to be nervous about from what I've seen in the first leg, but I am nervous.
But you're only going to be nervous because it's a semi-final, isn't it? But if you're looking at it from a get, if you was looking at it, like you said, if this weren't Champions League and you were just playing him in a league, I wouldn't be phased at all.
No, I agree with you.
Like you said, you absolutely run midfield.
Yeah.
Obviously, Benzema can create something on his own. I get that. But like, I don't see them creating you any problems. And then going forward, I think you've got them...
I think you've got youth on your side.
I was
just about to say, the only thing I think, you know, these kids are playing fearless. You know what I mean? Mount and Werner and all this goes on. You know, we've got a fairly young team. That's the only thing that could potentially, whether the occasion, I don't think it will, but whether the occasion gets a bit too much for them. Do you know what I mean? And they're like,
and
on
the experience kicks in.
Yeah, on the edge of your Champions League final. Do you know what I mean? It's stuff you dream about, no doubt. You know what I mean? As a footballer. So that's the only thing that, obviously, we've got Silva, who's obviously super experienced. Aspilicueta, no doubt, will play. Who else is there?
Kante,
Jorginho. I reckon it'll be Kante, Jorginho, Mount. You know, but then other than that, it's quite a young team, isn't it? So let's say we get through. Would you prefer to play PSG or City?
City.
Same.
Because, yeah, I think PSG on the counter-attack are an absolute joke, aren't they?
But it's better devil you know, isn't it? I think with City, obviously, you know what I mean? The best team in the Premiership right now, you know, it goes without saying, but... We know them, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you'd be,
and
rather than going into a PSG team where you've hardly ever played them.
If we go in with PSG, people back Chelsea to win it. If you go in with City, if you go in with City, people back City to win it.
Mm. And I agree with that.
And I think that works for Chelsea because even 2 weeks ago, I know they rested a few and they had obviously the sub goalkeeper in or whatever, but they look a bit shell-shocked. They play a lot of football. There's a lot of pressure on them to do everything. And everyone's like, Pep's got to win the Champions League. You don't win the Champions League now. This pressure's is your best on. Opportunity. Yeah, yeah. Pressure's on. Every time it gets somewhere, they're like, yeah, but he's bottled it this time. It's been
12 years, isn't it, since he won it?
Because he didn't win it at Bayern, did he?
He didn't win it at Bayern. No. He hasn't won it
he
here.
Win it at Barcelona.
Barca. Mm.
The last one was the Wembley one when he actually turned up and ruined it.
Yeah.
It's been like 10 years since he won it.
Right.
What is your... So get to a cup final. What's your cup final ritual? Do you have one?
Well, hopefully, touch wood, going to be working them.
Yeah.
Working both of them. Because last year was my first FA Cup final. First season working for the club.
How was that one for you? I was allowed that one after the Baku one. After Baku, I was allowed that.
Yeah. One all.
Yes.
We did it on the concourse outside Wembley, right? And again, I'm buzzing thinking first FA Cup final. The game's 50 yards away from me and I've got to watch it in a hotel room. It's not allowed on the ground.
It's an absolute killer.
Like it was amazing. But running over back over to the Hilton opposite to sit in a hotel room and watch it.
Yeah,
like it's just not.
It's not the same, is it?
This season I'm hopeful, but also again Chelsea going to it, people back them because they're playing Leicester. You should win it. You should win it against Leicester. Not being disrespectful.
They're
ahead of us in the league, but we should win it. We should win it.
I think we'll win the FA Cup. I think City will win the Champions League.
Do you know what? I think if they play Real Madrid, they win it. I think if they play us, I don't think they do. Because that might be the delusional bias coming through. But I just think there's something about when Chelsea get to finals that usually happens. It's usually something happens. Usually it turns out.
Not when they play us. Man.
No.
It's literally not when they play us in the final. That's the only time. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Was it 2018? Chelsea.
Oh, Per Mertesacker was unbelievable. Is that the one?
Him against Diego Costa.
That was the one.
Hazard pen, wasn't it?
Mm.
I remember it because that was... I DJ'd in the fan zone at Wembley. Most nervous gig I've ever done in my life. You put me in front of 80,000 people at summertime ball or something, playing whatever, all day long, I'm fine. Playing in front of 3,000 Chelsea fans, mate. Literally. Wow. Like, they asked me to do it, and obviously I said yes. And then when I thought about it, like, wow, this is like...
What have I done?
I was nervous, mate. Obviously, it ended up being fine. I played Yeah, I just kicked off a liquidator.
I was gonna say, I remember the week before coming into the studio yeah. and he's prepping out a mixed liquidator into like normal bangers. You're like, but you're setting yourself up hard.
The set was like two hours. You know what I mean? Like the fan zone would be, you know, this is pre-COVID, obviously. Yeah, 2018. So, you know, 80,000 fans or whatever. But then there'll be specific fan zones. Obviously, Chelsea and Arsenal. I think it's about 3,000 in each one. And yeah, they'll turn up at like midday until like two-ish. Like, 2 hour set is that's a long DJ set. Do you know what I mean? For football fans, you know what I mean? It's like, it was, I learned a lot that day.
Bored
I learned a lot.
Easily.
Yeah, yeah. Trust me. And I grafted, I downloaded loads of Chelsea chants off of iTunes and mixed them in with like Dizzy Rascal Bonkers and stuff like that. Properly grafted for that check that day.
It's hard to keep football fans entertained with music, isn't it?
Because you know we're just going to tough crowd, mate.
Yeah, when
crowd.
We start singing our own songs, you know you fucked it, haven't you?
No, but that's it. Yeah. But that's it. I had all the chance, and then I think one time I dropped celery, then they all started chucking celery at me at each other. I was like, "What's going on here? Oh, I'm trying to do a job." But yeah, that was a good day. That was a good day.
What's the best game you've ever been to?
Well, for me, it's that one because I did the party. So imagine after that 2 hour DJ set, I was buzzing, went in, sat in, watched the game, and beat Arsenal 1-0. Has our pen. So that was a good day at the office for me.
Out of all the Chelsea games in the world,
I would say one that I've been to. Okay, do you know what I mean? I was there.
I remember when we played Inter Milan in the Champions League a few years back, and again, this was kind of my infancy going regularly to games, and I just remember them rocking up and having Eto'o, Schneider, Milito, and all these players I'd seen, again, just watching videos on YouTube or whatever, and just thinking, this is unbelievable. Like, I was watching Chelsea, I was watching Yari Yarosik's debut against Scunthorpe in the FA Cup in the FA Cup 3 years ago, and now these boys are rocking up. But I think it's hard to pick a specific game because one of my favourite games probably come from the last couple of years, just going to games and even since working at the club, because I think I've tried to be a bit more detached now, where you know you run with a run with the good and the bad. When you have a bad result, when you get beat 3-0 away at Bramall Lane, you've got to kind of flip it and go, we've done all right though, still top four, but you can't have that as a fan. As a fan, it ruins you. It ruins your entire weekend, you get beaten like that. Where you try and be a little bit more balanced now. So last week against Real Madrid was probably one of the games I most enjoyed the most, because it was the first time I was like a fan again, like proper starting to get a little bit carried away and a little bit again. After half an hour, when Pulisic scores on 38, I'm texting a reporter that's in the ground in Madrid, going, mate, pack your bag, Istanbul's done. Make sure you got a big one for hand luggage in case I can't come. Like,
cocksure youth, isn't it?
Big
youth,
time. So I was confident. Done. I was so done. And then Benzema scores, and it was like, oh, hang on a minute.
Squeaky bum time.
This is Real Madrid. This is the Champions League again. But I think that was the game. Genuinely, one of the most games I've enjoyed most. That or Ajax last year when we drew 4-4. And we were 4-1 down, and Reece James scores in the last minute because there's that picture of Reece, Tammy, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Mason Mount, all screaming towards a corner, and you think this is going to be it for the next 10 years. These boys are going to start every game. We're going to win everything. And again, it's that delusion that getting carried away, isn't it?
How do you find separating it from yourself, like you said, like being a fan, to then having to switch it off and sort of be unbiased and try and be positive? How do you find doing that?
Do you know what, I'm lucky with the people that I've worked with on a regular basis. I work with like Jason Cundy and Pat Nevin, who are both amazing insight into the game. So I'm very aware as a fan, no one's watching the show to get my opinion on Chelsea. No one cares about my Chelsea opinion. I'm absolutely fine with that. Why would you? I'm same as any other geezer on the street. Just, I love Chelsea. That's it.
Yeah.
No one cares about my opinion. So it's fine for me because I go into every show thinking, it's relevant what I say. Because my job is to get the best out of the people around me. So when games are difficult, that's all right, because they're so well trained and they know the line to toe. And again, as players, if you've been a player, you've got every right to criticise a player. If you've played at that level,
you've earned the right
to do it. So if I go on and one of them slates a goalkeeper for having a poor game, again, that's completely your right. I've got no right to slate Kepa for not getting down for the second goal. I've not played beyond Parks. Like, I've got absolutely no right. So for me, that's always been dead easy, because I just look at it as a case of, no one's there for my opinion. No one cares what I say. So I've just got to make sure I'm just laying off passes to the better players to make sure that they're talking about the right things.
Yeah.
And
do you enjoy it? The anchor. It. You're the anchor, mate. The anchor.
Love it. Love it, mate. It's genuinely. And again, you boys all worked in football. You all know about football. In that, it's a dream, isn't it? It's a dream to be able to watch your team from a perspective where you enjoy it still. And I'm not, you know, I'm
it
I'm
helps
very
when
lucky.
You're successful as well, isn't it?
Of course. I used to work at Luton Town. I was born in Luton, so I used to work at Luton Town years back, and that was difficult because I'd do a stint in the press box writing like match reports and stuff. And then at full time, I was like 17, 18 doing an internship. Full time, I'd go and work in the shop, do a shift in the shop. And you'd come in and we'd get beaten by a Barrow on a Tuesday night 1-0 in the FA Vars or whatever in the conference. And people coming in slating the team, slating the board, slating the manager. And I'm going, mate, I'm on £6 an hour. Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
Like, I get it, your night's ruined, but unless you're having 10% off this shirt, please just do one. I'll finish. I ain't got nothing. So when you're at a club where it's successful, it's a lot easier because you don't have those downs.
We've got thousands of Luton fans, haven't we, that listen to us, so they're going to fucking hunt him down.
Hey, I'm a Luton boy. I loved it. I learned so much there. I still got friends there. Still got a lot of friends there. And I go to games as much as I possibly can. But it's one of those clubs where it's so passionate. So hot. Like, I mean, Kenilworth, they're moving from Kenilworth Road in a couple of years. But that's one. I still got mates now that love the fact that the seats are falling apart. Love the fact that you're going to the toilet.
It used to be AstroTurf and all, didn't it?
It did. So still, it's an amazing club. When you've worked from like the conference, I worked from in the conference, and then when they were in League Two, and then things got in the way. I started uni and stuff like that, so didn't work there anymore. But even then, like you see how much it means to people because it's not Chelsea where they've got 20 million fans. They've got, you know, they've got 20,000-30,000 fans that hopefully go to
community.
On a
it,
exactly,
yeah.
It's a community. Mm. Yeah. When a team playing, when they're winning, you got boys that are coming down signing in the club shop that have got like 6,000 or 7,000 Instagram followers. You got queues around the road.
Yeah.
Like people buzzing off it. And I see him doing his big shop the other week. Like, but it's that community feel, isn't it? And obviously when you go up through the leagues, people lose that.
Was you disgusted with the European Super League and how that went down? And did it make you want to then go back to Luton and support them again?
It didn't. No.
Yep.
I'm same as every fan. You want to see your team play. Mm-hmm. You want to see your team play as much as possible. You don't want any competition that doesn't have competition because that's not what football's about. That's not what anyone gets into football. But at the same time, one of these conversations has been coming for a long time. Like, I don't know about you boys, but I probably pay the best part of £150 a month to watch games on TV with your Sky subscription, BT, Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's going to keep coming in the next 3 or 4 years.
I know a fella that'll get you a fire stick if you want to sort you right out. And you, Marv, if you're struggling as well, mate. Right?
Cheers, bruv.
But it's coming, isn't it? Disney are going to buy games in the next couple of years. Netflix will probably dip their toe at some point. You're going to be paying £200-300 to watch games on your sofa.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to happen. And because that's
you want your money's worth.
Of course, because that's happening, conversations like this are going to happen. The best thing that's happened is that people have appreciated and realised that fans actually do still matter. Because, again, not from a negative point of view, but fans going in the ground don't matter to these billionaire owners anymore.
Couldn't care less.
COVID's proved this, this season with no fans in there. This has proved that the billionaire owners have turned around and said, these bastards are still paying their money to watch our teams. People from abroad, they don't care about the fans
getting,
going in the stadium.
When you're getting £3 billion from the TV rights over the course of 5 or 6 years, you're not worried if 50,000 people are coming through the door at £20 a ticket.
Mm.
It's not. It doesn't matter. Football's going that way. Fans are so important to every football club because, like you said, they're the community. They're everything. They're the voice. It means so much to them. And I think there's some owners, and this is where I'll credit Chelsea, because even today when we're coming in, there's a statement gone out so they're going to get a supporter on the board to talk about all these decisions and stuff like that. Things like that need to happen. Need to happen where fans have got a voice. When fans don't have a voice, like we've seen at Arsenal and like we've seen at United and even Liverpool the last couple of weeks, where owners are so detached and it's just a cash cow, you don't know where it's going to end, and that's the worry, isn't it?
Do you think that the managers knew?
No.
No.
No, 100%.
You could see that from the Klopp interview sticks out for me, like the way his reaction on the, I think that was the day that it got announced, from him, you could see that he was baffled.
Because they had Leeds, didn't they? It was Liverpool Leeds.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Leeds wore T-shirts, didn't they?
Yeah, and just the revolt from the managers and the players was a telling sign that they knew nothing about it. No way.
But again, I'm absolutely not for it, obviously, but you can see from people that don't quite buy into football, don't quite understand football, because this is done by like Florentino Perez and Agnelli at Juventus, sort of two put like real paws on it. Real Madrid are in £1 billion worth of debt with a £600 million renovation going on in the stadium. Barcelona are in £1 billion worth of debt and still want to sign Messi on a £500 grand a week contract next year. They're going, where are we going to get money from? Hang on a minute.
They don't have investors today.
If we set up one of these, people are going to want to pay to watch Barcelona Juventus over watching Barcelona away at Getafe on a Saturday night. Because they will. Because we all do. We're all football fans. We all want to see it. But it's different in this country. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Because there's competition from start to finish. Barcelona can be 70%. They were awful the first 6 months of the season under Koeman. And now what? They're within two points of winning La Liga?
But it was like that bloke who had the sign, like, I would miss cold Tuesday nights on Stoke. Like, want that. I want to go to Burnley and get ironed out by Chris Wood. Like, that's what makes it. What is it? If we lost, you would lose what we have as a, like, social life. Like me and you, we go to the pub, we sit there, we slag everything off. How can we get beat away at this shit? How can we get, we would lose all that. I don't want to get beat by Barcelona every week.
It was just the way they went about it was morally corrupt. The way they went about it, do you know what I mean? But I think it's a very British mentality to what we're talking about. And like, you, the love of the game, it's like you follow your dad, you follow who they support in your games and all that. That will be lost forever, I think, with that. Because I think kids now, they don't necessarily follow football teams. They follow players. So they love the Neymars. They love Ronaldo. They love Mbappe, Haaland. So when Ronaldo left Real Madrid and went to Juve, it's like you saw kids all of a sudden in, like, you'll see them in their Real Madrid kits and now they're in their Juve kit, or there'll be a Messi. So it's like, I say to me, mate, he's Arsenal. Who's he support? He's like, oh, like, he likes PSG. He likes Juve. And I'm like, what's his English club?
Well,
he just be who he wants to be. And I'm like, well, fucking, not for me. But listen, I think that's the way football's going now. It's very branded. You know, they don't follow teams anymore, and they don't follow what their dad would not, 9 times out of 10 support, obviously, apart from yourself.
It's tough though, isn't it? Because we all love seeing Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher speak passionately about everything and talking about how the fans are so important. They are, but I think there also is a genuine conversation that everyone keeps skirting around when they talk about the Super League. Decisions like this will come back. The reason the Champions League's getting reformed is because the big teams want more money.
Yeah.
And let's be absolutely brutally honest. None of us are buying, you know, paying £100 a month for Sky and BT to watch Burnley and Sheffield United on a Sunday afternoon. We're buying it for Liverpool, Man United. We're buying it for Chelsea City. Yeah. So,
although they did try to charge us for those games, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yes.
Remember that? Yeah, £16 for West Brom, Fulham.
Absolutely no chance, mate. On a Friday night, I think not. No, but
I paid. I've spent a lot, you know.
You've got a fire stick, mate. Stop lying.
I ain't got a fire. I swear on my life, I spent a lot. You know I did.
I'll sort you all out.
Your mates with him.
I'll sort you all out.
You've got the fire stick, son.
but that's it. You can see why the owners are doing that, because they're going, why Barcelona get 50% of the TV rights in Spain? And the big clubs over here are going, well, why are we getting that? Because, no one's bothered about. Obviously, the fans of the clubs are, but the genuine fan, where they're selling it to America and China and the Asian market, that are getting billions and billions of pounds in, they're not getting up at 3 a.m. to watch Burnley away at Sheffield United. It's not happening. It's just not happening. But if it's Liverpool United, if it's Chelsea City, if it's Chelsea Arsenal, they're up.
They're up.
True.
But it's like you said about the Champions League reform. Have you seen how that's going to work? What did you think of that? It's just the same. It's just the same. It's in the Super League, but with just different name. Like, it's the same shit.
Is it more dross?
Basically, you play, like, instead of 8 group games, it's like 10 group games.
It's like a league, isn't it?
It's like a league, and then you go into another. Is it another little league? Yeah, it's just.
Right. It's when's that coming in from?
23, 24.
Okay. Yeah, but that's where Pires has obviously, like, Florentino Pires has gone, like, you know, fuck you. You're putting it so much pressure on us. Why don't we just create this Super League?
Well, even with that, like, the big thing about everyone's kicked up, and rightly so, is the lack of competition. Like, you can't have a tournament with the big teams only exclusively in it, with no one else allowed in. Because it's not your ball. You can't play with it. Like, it's not about that. With the new Champions League reform, there's a rule in it that says the two teams with the highest coefficient qualify regardless. So this year it would have been Arsenal and Spurs.
Yeah.
So regardless of where you finish in the league, it's exactly the same as a Super League. It's a problem that everyone was kicking up about last week, but no one's talking about it. I think it's the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. But when Gundogan and other players have come out and said, you're running us blind here, like, you're flogging us, paying, can't. It's gonna come a point where you're either gonna have squads of 50 people because you're gonna have to, or you're gonna have players that are playing 70 games in a season. Then you want them to go and play in the Euros. Then you want them to go and play in the World Cup. And then you're gonna wonder why they're retiring at 28. body can't do it.
But that's even what they, in that's the what... Euros, look, they've now they've upped how many teams are in that now, isn't it? It's not just a standard 16 like it was. What is it now? 24 and even if you finish third in your group, you're qualifying. That's how Portugal won it last time, didn't they? Finished third in their group and then went on to win it.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, what's the point? You're losing all of it. Yeah. That's they nuts. Finished third, didn't they? And was shit and then go on to win it.
Arsenal, Chelsea, Arsenal, when we play.
Sorry, I need to ask you one question.
Me?
What he does. You know how he said he can switch off and not look at it from a fan's point of view, do you know what I mean, and do his job?
Yeah.
You could do that.
What do you mean?
Like switch off and not look at it from a fan's point of view. Because you're like the most negative, miserable Arsenal
fan. I'm a fucking realist.
No,
mate.
You're not.
I'm a realist.
No, you're not.
You probably put Theo Walcott in the top five Arsenal players of all time.
No, you are the most miserable, negative Arsenal fan ever. You see the way he says he switches, like, he takes a step back, tries to look at the positives, tries to look at things in a different light.
Okay.
I asked you a question, could you do it?
Possibly. It's a bit different for Arsenal Chelsea because they're successful.
When is it? 2 weeks?
In the 12th.
Week tomorrow.
Don't change
the subject. No, I'm telling you. He has the opportunity to do that because ultimately, every now and again, they're going to fucking win something.
Should we win the FA Cup? What's the problem? So you're doing it now. You're getting pissed off already.
Last time we won the league was 17 years ago.
You can take yourself out of this tiny little conversation.
17 years ago, we last won the league.
Shit. You are full of shit. He gives me grief every week because I'm literally the most positive Arsenal fan ever.
He thinks Xhaka's fucking unbelievably great.
Oh, don't start on me about Granit Xhaka, please. Please don't start on me about Granit
Xhaka. Don't agree with him because he's got a better beard than me.
Shut up. How can the geezer control how we play from left back?
Because we're that shit.
No, don't. No, give me that. Because you're just telling me. You say he's shit. The geezer is not shit. We are a better side with him. Yes or no? We a better side with him?
No.
So we're worse with him?
What?
So we're worse with him.
There's no answer.
We a better side with Granit Xhaka?
No.
How? Explain to me how. Sorry, lads.
No,
sorry, lad. He fucking irritates me.
Get
with
that Burnley Fulham. I'll pay 15 quid for this because you crack on.
But we're not a better team with him.
So what are we then? So that would make
we're fucking shit.
No, that's not answering the question. Are we a better team or a worse team with him?
Oh, well, worse then.
No, you're full of shit. Go away.
There you go.
You're actually full of shit. What do you think of? Have you watched a lot of us or not?
I haven't watched a lot of you this season. I'll
fuck
be honest.
You then. No. Have you watched a lot of us?
Not. Do you know what? My cousin, he's on the books there. He's at Kilmarnock at the minute. Zach Medley.
He's a centre half. Centre half, isn't he?
Left footed. So obviously, I was paying attention to it, you know, with my sort of family, you know what I mean, seeing how he was getting on, but then he went off on loan, so now I've not been watching.
Not interested.
I thought it was like a nice little
big He watches Kilmarnock. Yeah.
I watch more Kilmarnock, to be honest, than do Arsenal.
Left footed defender, though, that sounds like they could do one, doesn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
We've got a couple, we've got him, and then we've got that geezer on loan at Blackpool, that Daniel Ballard as well, that looks after. But that Zach Medley's meant to be half decent.
Yeah, he's a good player, mate.
So, yeah, you confident for the Arsenal Chelsea game? You said always said in the Prem you think we were right against us.
We home.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. I think it depends on how Chelsea get on in the Champions League and against City at the weekend.
I think it depends on where Xhaka plays.
you've got to remember, we've got an FA Cup final.
I was
going to
say,
after.
Depends on, yeah, it's FA Cup final Saturday after.
Yeah, Saturday after.
Potential Champions League final 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, 10 days after.
And we're fighting for ninth, so yeah.
No, but this is the kind of game, though, isn't it? But over Christmas, walking into that, I was so confident against you boys, and then you turn us over. So
I just don't like playing Arsenal. It's that one team. Do you know what I mean? They always just nick a result. It's just that Arsenal Chelsea thing, innit? Do you know what I mean? It's like United Liverpool, same sort of vibe. I don't know, mate. Because like you said, if we're secure in fourth place, then and we game so we got City,
four left, innit?
City
left.
Then Arsenal. Was it City then Leicester?
City then Arsenal.
Okay. No, we probably won't be secure by then. But yeah, I just don't. Arsenal's like definitely our bogey team. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's going to be hard on it. I think, again, it does it. I think it depends on how we've gotten it. Because if we're in a Champions League final and if we've beaten City at the weekend, which I know is a big ask for both of those to come in, but then you've got an FA Cup final a couple of days after it, I wonder whether he rotates.
I think playing Arsenal just before FA Cup final is a perfect little game. Do you not think?
It's a fucking warm-up game for you.
Yeah, maybe. But then, I suppose it's...
See? Negative. Prick. it's just full of shit.
That's what I'm laughing at.
Like, it's warm-up game for you. Like, it's just full of shit.
But I suppose it depends what team he wants to pick, doesn't it? Because if he goes full strength, then he wants the same 3 or 4 days after. Or if Kante's played 90 against Real Madrid and then Man City, is he going to play against...
Listen,
well?
If it's your year, it's your year. Look at Man United with their treble.
True.
It's your year, isn't it?
And yeah, look, to be fair as well, I know it's becoming a regular thing for Chelsea fans. Like, yeah, we'll take top four. We'll take an FA Cup.
We'll take the Champions League. That'd be all right. Don't worry about it.
That's sort of been the thing we've been saying the last couple of years. Do you know what I mean? So it'll be all right. Kane to Chelsea, then we'll be pushing for the title next year. Do you know what I mean? So, all good.
So tonight, obviously, we ain't even touched on it. It was a PSG Man City. Do you think City will go through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think PSG will.
Do you?
I thought that. I said they was going to win it for ages, didn't I? Mm.
I can't see City not scoring. Obviously, PSG are probably going to score. Do you know what I mean? You know, you can see, but I think both teams are going to score, obviously. Was it 2-1 to City, isn't it?
2-1 to City,
yeah. 2-1 City, yeah.
And then PSG missed a lot of chances at the beginning of first half last week.
Yeah, they were strong that first half. They was all over them, weren't they?
Yeah.
And then the game just flipped. I thought City were going to do the treble. Obviously, they obviously not doing the FA Cup one, but I still think they could, you know, do the domestic treble.
Yeah,
I still think they're going to do that. To be fair, so yeah, I think I think it's going to be a great game, but I think they'll do it.
I think so. I think the teams that usually go furthest are the ones that don't concede goals, and I think that's the big teller. Is PSG look amazing going forward? So good, but defensively, I still think City can get out of them, and I'd fancy City to shut them out. PSG shut City out.
Have you got a lot of mates that are Chelsea?
Yeah.
That you go with and go away with?
Not as many as I've got Arsenal and Spurs.
I was going to say, it's not a fair split, actually, when you think about it. But
if you were to go on a lad's holiday, this is something that we ask everyone that comes on, what's your go-to destination for your lad's holiday? If you could pick anywhere in the world to go to for like a 4 or 5 day stint, where would you go?
He's going to say Istanbul.
Well, if the flight's next Friday night, go on. Yeah.
It's easy for me. Vegas, standard.
In fairness, I'm just going to tag along with Marvin. Life's worked pretty well when I'm tagging along with
him. Yeah, Vegas all day long. I did my stag there. I did my stag, my mate's stag, and a mate's 21st. I've done it 4 times. I went to Hat and Mayweather fight as well years ago.
Sorry, mate. Fucking hell.
So and that was all the boys. So you can't top Vegas.
Vegas is winning 3-0 now, isn't it?
Can't top it, mate.
And where have you been?
Yeah, but I ain't been Vegas. So
I saw McLean said as well, didn't he? He said Vegas, didn't he?
Yeah, and he was, how many times have you been out?
Thirteen.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Scandalous.
Football of life.
Have you been?
Nah. He keeps telling me I've got to go, but like got I might be a bit of a loose cannon out there.
You won't come home. You'll come home with something.
Yeah, so we said I'll either get nicked, married, or what was it? Nicked.
All in the same night.
All in the same night, probably.
Mate, can easily happen, mate, in Vegas.
But yeah, Vegas, what's your... I know you... Have you got a missus?
Yeah.
Been to Vegas? No, you haven't. No. What's your best lads holiday you've been on?
I've not done that many.
Are you not allowed? Or,
yeah. No.
Babe, they were saying that we could go to Tenerife.
I'm going Vegas with Marv. Is that all right? No, it's fucking not all right.
Did you not see the memes about the Super League saying it was like, you organising a lads night out without asking the missus?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was like.
You've organised it and that's all that asked the missus, yeah.
I do quite like the sound of Vegas, to be fair, though. But again,
it is absolutely unreal.
See, it worries me though. It worries me because people I know that have been have said you don't know when it's daytime because there's no daylight or whatever, and that rattled me because I think I'm one of those people. I love the feel of being in a casino. I've no idea what I'm doing. Mm. Love the feel of being in it, and then when they're all casinos and everything like that, and it's all glamour. I think
it's great when you're at a pool party and then. You go back into the hotel and you got like half hour to prep to get out to like Dre's or whatever, and you're out and then you're up all night and it's like, oh, the next pool party, oh, we're going Wet Republic. It's so great.
It's unbelievable.
So great.
It is tricky. It is hard to do. It is hard to do the double headers though. You can, if you're going for 4 or 5 days, when I say double headers, like the pool party, which is usually 12 till 6, 12 till 7, and then the nightclub at midnight.
You couldn't do
six.
That every night. You can't do it every
you
night.
Can't do that.
No.
Some people give it a go, but you can't. If you're doing 4 or 5 nights there, which is plenty, you probably only got 1 or 2 of those in you.
Yeah.
Gigged out there?
Yeah, I have actually, yeah.
I'm sorry.
A little touch actually. One of my, I was out there for a mate's birthday and he knew the VIP manager that run the DJ stuff and Getter was playing and because it was his night and I had my USB stick, obviously. He was like, "Oh, Marv, do you want to go on before get her?" I was like, "Yeah, sweet, mate, love to." So I did like an hour before him. Actually, I'll tell you what happened as well, is that I feel I got a little bit carried away, forgot it was a warm-up set, and I was I was going for it, mate, like it was my gig, you know what I mean? Like the ultimate DJ. Like,
you didn't play any getter, did you?
No, I didn't play any getter. Okay. but his tour manager come up to my mate who was with me, and he said, "Man, you're going to have to tell him to calm it down, dude. He's pissed." So yeah, that was.
He's in the zone.
In the zone, mate. But yeah, Vegas all day long.
You got USB with you now?
I was going to say, what? Do you just roll around with your USB all the time?
Some people just take like a driving license and a bit of money. He carries his USB with him just in case.
Just in case, mate. You never make it tiny.
That's a tune and all. That's a tune.
Come on.
I rate that.
Yeah, always, mate. Always. You never know what's going to happen. To be fair, do you know what I mean? After parties and that, I have to play some tunes.
Excellent.
That, mate, and an invoice.
Yeah, no, I didn't get paid for it.
Gents, Al, you got anything else you want to ask these two? Because it's 19:45 and I want to watch the big game. As much as I've enjoyed their company, I want to get back.
No, chaps, I honestly, bottom of my heart, thank you ever so much for coming on. Honestly, thank you very much.
You're such an arsely, Chris.
No, fuck, I've got respect.
You have not said that once to anybody. You are so far up his ass, it's unbelievable.
Listen.
If they were, shut up. Do me, make a video about him, how he's so far up your ass. Just sit in your cab on the
you
way
do one, you do one, I'll fucking do one of all of you. Especially you.
I dare you to do one to me. You do one for me and I'll do one for you. All I will right. fucking win.
You won't. No, you won't.
He knows
you
full
won't.
Well
you
I will
won't.
Kill him.
I'll bury her.
I will.
I'll bury her.
Should we do it?
Eh?
I will fucking ruin you.
Edit this. Edit this bit out.
I've got an A4 notepad at home waiting to ruin you.
Okay.
He's got it all stacked.
On that note.
I will ruin you. No.
The game kicked off. The game's kicked off.
No, gents, thank you. We do appreciate it.
No worries, brother. It's
it don't
pleasure.
Mean as much to me as it does to him, but yeah, cool.
Thank you, boys. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Pieces of shit.